go to work, send your kids to school, follow fashion, okay, act normal, okay, walk on the pavement, watch TV,
okay,
save for your old age, okay, obey the law, repeat after me, I am free. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Arizona Verse is in the building, yeah, and with me, my dude and co-host, yo, Soul Papa.
Like always, what's happening?
I'm black, he's Mexican, but you should already know that. Mm-hmm. This is a podcast about nothing in particular, just current events minus the bullshit. You could check us out at IBHMpodcast.com for videos, photo galleries, polls, and much, much more fuckery. And speaking of fuckery, follow me on my main source of social media fuckery, which is Tumblr, and that could be found at adifferentstateofblack.tumblr.com. You can follow my dude Soul Papa on his main source of social media fuckery, which is
also that Tumblr, Soul Papa, SoulPapo, the Tumblr.com. Please come and fuck with me. What's up?
Yes, sir. We're back. We're back for a super, super secret episode. Just this shit's just gonna pop up out of nowhere, bam, in your face.
Yo, this is kind of like when you know you're out and about and the thirst hits you and you gotta leave home with something. Kind of like when you go to the store and you kind of do that. What is it? What is that? What is that? It's not a high pressure buy. It's kind of like, fuck. What do they call it? When you go somewhere, you kind of just buy something just because you want to buy something.
I know exactly what the impulse buy.
Impulse buy. That's what it is. Like, oh, I guess I'll take you. Come on, let's go.
And yes, sir, we are back with fucking American anarchy. There's a lot of shit going on in the world, man. What the fuck is up, man? I don't know.
Yo, there's and it's lately what we've been covering, the two biggest things I feel like outcolor the other, in my opinion, was both, you know, the shit that's happened out east and the Ferguson stuff is just ongoing, never ending. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? We are focusing all our shit on this. Now, me being of Americana as I am, I was like, I can't deal with this shit. Give me the fluff. Give me the filler.
And
what else is happening?
And I got some fluff and some conspiracy I'd like to throw out there. And I'll start this off by, did you do your ice bucket challenge yet?
First of all, I didn't receive a challenge because
Skips tagged you. Skips challenged you. So she sent hers out yesterday. So she challenged us.
How was I called out though, or was it as a BH? You know, B I M. What the fuck?
I'm she
using broadcast all together. I can't even do the IBHM. What the fuck?
She did the IBHM podcast, Arizona Verse, and Soul Papo. So she tagged both of us.
Okay, so I just got the. Is this why you asked me if I'm using my Papo Soleil?
Yeah, because I didn't know. I got to check to see which one she sent it to. But you have been challenged, and I have been challenged, and I'm going to do mine after we get done with this. But I have a little bit of fuckery I want to throw out there. Okay. As you know, I'm a conspiracy theorist. I'm into the procession of the equinoxes. And, you know, I've talked a lot about the age of Pisces and all the fish references with Jesus. And Jesus ran the age of Pisces. Well, the age after Pisces is the age of Aquarius. And the age of Aquarius is the water bearer, the guy... with the bucket and with the, you know, the water barrier pouring the water. And this ice bucket challenge has spread across the world, and everybody is pouring water on themselves. And I ask you, are we baptizing ourselves into the age of Aquarius?
Motherfucker, are you serious?
Boom, boom, boom.
Mind blown. Asshole shattered. Fuck.
I'm just wondering. So I'm going to go ahead and throw that out there when I do mine. So welcome to the age of Aquarius, people.
Yo, really, and you know what? And this kind of pisses me off. And first of all, what the hell does ACL or ALS or ADS?
It's Lou Gehrig's disease. So it's the same. It's a disease that's been around forever, and now it's a big deal.
Let me tell you. A few months ago, and obviously, you know, it takes shit to kind of take a little, it takes a little while for shit to spread like wildfire. Now, it was actually a few months ago, back when I was still doing that collections thing, this one motherfucker that I hated with all my guts, because we came from all the same land, and, you know what I'm saying, he's bulimic skinny, like, I want to be bulimic skinny, but most importantly, this nigga was raking in dough. Now, mind you, this guy is a motherfucker where he loved to show me his bonus checks, you know, that being in the when he'd be stacking G's upon G's upon G's. And, yeah, so there's a bit of hating on this part. But I guess we were quote-unquote boys. I'm such a fake hoe. But he was showing me this thing, though, about Facebook. He's like, have you done the ice challenge yet? I'm like, this is back when I was on my FB hiatus. I'm like, no, I'm not on Facebook. I feel so proud when I'm able to tell people that. I feel so fancy. I'm not even on Facebook.
Hipster.
I don't like that label. But, but I love me some hipster hoes. Like, oh, do I? Back to the thing, though. He was pretty much explaining to me that people are challenged to donate, and those who do not donate are then fucking apparently drowned in ice water, and it's supposed to be slowly. Motherfuckers are doing this shit real fucking fast. Like, that's not what it was. I mean, mind you, I'm not an online guru, so I could be wrong. But when I was explaining this shit a few months ago, it was you had to suffer for not fucking donating. But now it's become the sort of thing to where everyone's doing it, and it's what do you call it? It's just, and so anyways, I found this meme that pretty much summed it up perfectly, because maybe my stuttering ass ain't doing it right. But it had a little poverty kid, and y'all have seen the poverty kid logo. It's kind of, he looks like real suspicious. He looks like a young Merriweather, whatever. Just kind of looking at you like, what the fuck? And so anyways, on this meme it says, so let me get this straight. You waste clean water, and mind you, this is coming from a motherfucker from a country that has no water and they're dying of fucking thirst, as a challenge in order to avoid raising money for charity. And that was such the fucking tail on the goddamn retarded fucking asshole loose donkey.
And once again, I would like to simply call it a first world problem. That's exactly what it is. Welcome to America.
I'm glad our troops are fighting for this.
Yeah, and so let's update the people in what's going on in the Middle East, because I know you've been keeping up with the Middle East a whole lot more than I have.
And I guess, and really more or less just looking at links and just scoffing at the fucking titles and the updates that we're getting, because it takes us so fucking long to get anything, and just how we were talking about earlier, if we think we know something, the government's fucking so far in advance, we're just getting barely the crumbs of it. And if anything, I don't even think we're getting crumbs. I think we're getting artificial crumbs. Like, this shit ain't even the real crumbs, yo. This is just some shit that, you know, we wanted to throw, y'all, because we don't gotta give a dog a bone, and we sure shit don't gotta give a duck anything. And we're playing duck to goose in this fucking game of catch-up and trying to win. And the last little things that I saw was just from us figuring out that Iraq shot down some Israel spy drones, which they wanted to deny. So, and you know what I'm saying? When you find something, like, I don't know, it's another thing, too. We don't want to let that out, that, you know, they're fucking up. Then again, you know, whatever. So that, things like that, and then also we confirm more strikes. I guess, I mean, we've been trying to, what is it called, when you recruit, like, the rebels and shit, like, so they could be part of you know, view for us. Now, one of the biggest fuck-ups that we've seen that I keep reading about, and it just upsets me all the more, like, oh, like, how can we, you know, the three strike zones, you know, after three strikes, you're out. It should be something, at least, when it comes to the people that we're fucking trusting. At least it should be. Motherfuckers are lucky to get one. They're blessed to get two, and we're dumb as shit if they get three anyway. So it's just, we trust so much of this intelligence to these people. They end up fucking us over. We end up just losing more casualties, and just that, let's just say, I don't give a fuck about that shit right now. Updates are not cool.
Yo, I will, go ahead.
I don't know. What are you gonna say?
No, I was going to say, I did see one article that came out of the Middle East that I thought was interesting, because it's this whole Israel versus, what is it, the Palestinians, and of course, through America media, we're, you know, to believe, to listen to Israel, and everything Israel says is right, and the Palestinians are, you know, the savages, if you will. And I found it interesting, though, that the Jews from Israel, with them being the God's people and so peace-loving and all that, that the women apparently have been trying to seek the sperm of combatant elite units who fought in Gaza.
So, like, all these guys who are going over there. People, I'm saying it right now. U.S., please. I know y'all motherfuckers is listening. Take me right now, because I want to get me an alien credit.
So apparently, yeah, they're trying to further breed, and they want the war veterans who are going around fucking up people out there in Gaza, they want them to come back and donate sperm to the sperm bank so they could breed more of these troops. Now, I find it funny because if this was the other way around, it came out that the Palestinians, the women were trying to get pregnant by the soldiers. It's like, oh, look at these savages. They're trying to breed themselves to take over the world. But because they're our ally. Oh, this is so funny and hilarious. So, Middle East, I don't know what's going on out there, but the aliens are growing. I'm just saying that.
Yo, first off, Lord, use me in all that I can be. but I'm also thinking what's kind of funny about that if it were to be like the, you know, the Muslims fucking using our shits, like, it would almost seem retarded, and it'd be like kind of like what we did to America. We, you know, we fucked the Indians, took what they had, and then, you know, made some bastards. But whatever.
Yes, sir.
Or I should say more kind of like the slaves, you know what I'm saying? Get some of that sweet chocolate, and you know what I'm saying? Making themselves some. Oh, yo, this, I don't know what they call them, and I love so much, and I, even though I do a whole lot, I hate so much as well. I love as hard as I hate, so just for those that, they're like, man, this nigga's full of hate, evil, no, that's just half of something. Hold on, my beautiful. Anyways, this cat was telling me things, he kind of gave me a little, his brother too, actually, at first, I think you would actually really get along with this dude, and he's someone I would like to bring to conversate with us. He kind of broke down, it kind of just bring it back locally. Because we were just talking about niggas and niggas in general, and he brings up about how people on the South Side usually, more or less, and this is a brother, mind you, was telling me this, and yeah, I love how he kind of had to give me the label and forewarnings, you know, the parental advisory every time he tell me some historical facts. He was telling me, I guess, how apparently when they did bring brothers out here, you know, and they slaved them up, that they had them in the Chandler area picking cotton. And then apparently these particular people migrated down to, you know, what we would consider South Phoenix. And because they were so secluded, even being such a small, even smaller minority in this state, which is more grounded, you know, of spics and fucking and crackers, that, you know, it kind of developed this sort of thing to where, you know, it was kind of more or less a brother versus brother, kind of black on black sort of thing, right? To where people, you figure from, you meet from the East Coast and out from about where they usually kind of show, they at least acknowledge you when they see you, if that makes sense. I don't know. I'm getting lost. He just broke down some shit, and I was like, yo.
And that makes a lot of sense, because actually all this black-on-black violence comes from a lot of self-hate within the black community, and all this self-hate comes from a direct result of slavery, which was a direct result of white supremacy, which was a white supremacy in the Golden Age of Europe, was a direct result of the Islamic Moors running Europe for 800 years, what they call the European Dark Age. It wasn't a dark age around the world. It was a dark age for Europeans, because the Islamic Moors was fucking them up and running Europe. And then so after the Europeans took over and they became the dominant culture on earth, if you will, then they decided to strike back against these dark-skinned Islamic Moors, and that's why they enslaved African Americans, and that's the reason why they did total whitewash in the history that the Caucasians, ran everything. They were getting back at the dark-skinned black people, and it's still going on, as you see in Ferguson and all this cops shooting people left and right. This is the direct result of going back in time, the Islamic Moors. You know, just do your research, people. This is an ever-going battle between Europeans and dark skins that can go back fucking over 1,000 years. This is an epic long battle. None of this shit, once again, we talked about that last time with the battle in the Middle East. This isn't anything new. They've been fighting over that land for 6,000-7,000 years. This war between fair-skinned people and dark-skinned people, this has been going on back thousands of years. These are ancient wars that are just still going on, and we keep equating them to things that are going on today. But no, this shit is goes way back longer and further and deeper than any of us could imagine.
Yeah.
Exactly. And speaking of black on black violence, did you see that Talib Kweli Don Lemon video?
Okay, was this when he was on the news?
Yeah, when he was on CNN.
I was at the main gig when some dude was telling me that he had went off and that they cut him off because they only gave him, like, I guess they only give you what, 6 seconds to kind of plead your case, and he kind of
something like that.
And all this talk of I don't know. Tell me, I don't know exactly. So tell me what happened. Did he show us?
So long. long story short, because a lot of people have been taking different sides with this. There's a lot of people who are on Salib's side. There's a lot of people who's on Don Lemon's side. And so I'll just describe how I saw it. They were talking about Ferguson. And because Talib Kweli had been out there for a while doing his research and just, you know, being out there with the people. He's a Mr. Conscious MC, and he has been ever since you could
he's been that dude.
Kweli and Black Star, like, he's been doing this. Yeah. So basically, long story short, I guess he shows up on the scene, and I guess some woman through CNN named Nicole is the one who asked for him to come on. And Don Lemon, I guess, showed up, didn't introduce himself to Talib. He was looking on his phone. He asked Talib how to pronounce his name, and then the cameras went on, and he proceeded to interview him. This is Don Lemon, the news reporter through CNN who was doing the interview.
On air?
So now this part was off air. This was before they went on air. So Don Lemon came over there. He wasn't paying attention to Talib. He was looking at his phone, doing whatever he was doing. He could have been researching. He could have been Facebooking. He could have been, you know, he did it for the Vine. I don't know. But he then asked Talib how to pronounce his name, and then they went on air, and then he proceeded to interview him. And so Talib was already riled up because of everything that's been happening out there. And then so Talib is talk about how he doesn't like how CNN has been covering it and how they keep portraying it like these niggas is getting crazy out here. And Talib talked about one story in particular of how they were like, oh, a bottle got thrown and then a riot broke out. And Talib was like, that's not exactly what happened. And while Talib was trying to explain what happened, Don Lemon started talking over him. And then so Talib got upset because he was like, just let me finish my point real quick. And Don Lemon would not let him finish his point. And they kept going back and forth, like, let me finish. And finally Talib kind of walked away for a minute, and then he came back. And anyway, they finally calmed down a little bit, and Talib explained that they were just saying how the bottle got thrown, but before the bottle got thrown, some cop aimed a gun at him saying, I'll blow your fucking head off. And then that's when tensions riled up, and then the bottle got thrown. And so Talib's whole point was just, you guys aren't covering everything. And Don Lemon was like, well, you don't know what you're talking about, because you're just talking about that one incident. And like, it just became this whole big thing. And Talib had basically explained how he was frustrated coming into it, because he was like, Don Lemon didn't have any respect for who he is as an artist and a person. It was just like, you just walked up, you didn't have anything to say to me, and you just you know, wanted to do the interview and hurry up and get me on TV or whatever. And so yeah, it just turned into a big argument, niggas arguing again, because I find it funny that Don Lemon and his, I hate to use the word, but his coon self, he never talks to white politicians like this. He's never cut nobody with no actual official power, but he had this black rapper on here, and he had to try to put the kid in his place. And so that's how I took it. I don't know.
Let me show you here, young nug. That's not how you do things around here. But fuck.
Yeah, and then it was silly, and they squashed the beef or whatever before they got done with the whole interview. And Don Lemon was just like, I'm a busy man, so you know, I was actually looking you up on the phone so I could get a little bit more information for you. And then afterwards, Don Lemon kind of shitted on him, like, the next day on Twitter was like, you know what, actually Talib, you had got canceled. And I was like, oh no, let me interview him. He was like, so it was one of those, like, I'm the one who helped you. So it was just, it just came off real corny and suspect. I don't know. So shouts out to Talib Kweli.
That's him trying to save his ass, man. Fuck. Yo, but see, but I know Mos Def would have handled the situation a little bit better. I know that's just me being a fanboy. But I'm just saying. Yeah. Almost to tread lightly, because I know we want to come back to it. In the realm, just kind of a hip hop, I started laughing that they played so nonchalantly too. That Suge Knight was shot actually at the Sunset Strip nightclub after this Chris
Brown
party.
About that.
Yeah, and it was so funny how they bring up, yeah, he was shot again. He this wasn't his first time shooting, and they kind of almost kind of like a little highlight reel. They take the best portions of when he was arrested and shot at him. I don't know. I find that shit fucking funny.
Suge Knight is such a fucking agent. I don't know. I always thought the whole Suge Knight rise to fame was suspect. Like, when he did it and blew up, I was like, yo, this dude is a mastermind and all that, similar to like how Puff Daddy is, and Puff Daddy is still relevant. But now that Suge Knight has lost Tupac and the rest of Death Row, it's been proven that he wasn't the genius that he was, but he just either stumbled upon some luck, or he was a puppet, and there was somebody else behind him pulling all that together. Because Suge Knight has not gotten back his feet after his empire crumbled, and that's not common with geniuses who dropped. Like, look at Jimmy Iovine, Dr. Dre, Puff Daddy, even Jermaine Dupri ain't doing that bad, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know. It's suspect.
Yeah, and I just, dude. And then apparently this was after some sort of what's that award show that's coming up? I forget if it's
named. VMAs.
Yeah. So I think this almost kind of brings us to like an anniversary, does it not? Because I think one of the first episodes we were talking about, we were doing some shit like that, but.
And I believe so. I believe we should just about be around our 1 year anniversary. Oh my god, that's so sweet.
You see how I remember, ladies?
Oh, that's hilarious. But that did remind me, did you see fucking James Franco troll the shit out of Iggy Azalea and Nicki Minaj?
No, what the fuck?
Oh my god. Wait, I gotta find this link and shoot it to you. Fucking James Franco, I guess he was doing an interview. They had this whole thing like he was gonna interview Iggy Azalea and interview Nicki Minaj, but it turned out that he was trolling the shit out of them. And so we'll post the video on the IBHMpodcast.com website. But basically, like, so he's sitting there and he was interviewing Iggy Azalea. He was like, so you have a hit single called Fancy, and he was like, let's see how fancy you are. And he was like, what side is the salad fork supposed to be on? And you know, asking those questions like that. And yo, she couldn't answer any of them, and she looked so stupid. And he just kept asking her all these different questions, and he was like, you don't seem so fancy to me.
Awesome.
He got into Nicki Minaj. He just kept asking her questions about her ass, and she was getting offended. And he was like, let me ask you a question about your fans. And she was like, okay, thanks. And he was like, you know, you have all these fans out there, and they just aspire to be you, and they want to grow up and be just like you. And he was like, when they run into you at an airport and they ask you, how did you get an ass like that? He was like, how do you respond? And she was like, that's another question about my ass. And he was like, no, that was a question about your fans. And then she was getting mad, and he was like, you can't get mad at me. He was like, you're the one that did it. He was like, you put out a song called Superb Ass. And she was like, oh my god, it's called Super Bass. Yo, I was weak. So yeah, check that out, people. Yeah. James Franco trolls Nicki Minaj and Iggy Azalea. It was fabulous.
I fucking like that, dude. And on the real, that just goes to show how you can be smart about your celebrity and further pursue yourself. And I started laughing, man, because I also saw something about Lindsay, dude, one of my favorite fucked up looking witty. I guess, and I don't know what it was. The funniest part is funnier than the relative article that got my attention. But apparently she was out just being trapped in a nightclub. She was getting pissed off about it. So she was kind of just being a total cunt to everybody. And the reason for that apparently was she had did an ice bucket challenge. And it was a total fucking fail. She just was making this big old thing about, you know,
wait, this was who? Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And it was the funniest part is that, you know how these girls are gonna make a big old deal, like, oh, I can't be doing this, and then they do the little shout out. Nobody was filming this. And when she, being the actress that she is, called back for playback, and they're like telling her, like, no, we didn't.
Oh,
no,
we weren't recording.
Yeah. She threw a goddamn fit. And if there's anything more than I love, it's the red of a pale bitch just done heated from some of these things. All right.
And speaking of Lindsay Lohan, that for whatever reason just got in my mind, where is Amanda Bynes?
Probably calling somebody ugly somewhere. I don't fucking know.
Yo, ever since that whole thing when she went crazy and she set that stuff on fire in that person's front yard, and then she went to rehab, like, she appeared off the face of the earth. I'm wondering if she's in a recollection center where they're reprogramming her brain. I don't know. Maybe I'm going a little too deep, people.
Well, she did a short circuit. And I think, Brittany came out of that all right. She looks hella robotic, but Brittany came out of that pretty sweet. I mean,
It's actually funny. Go ahead to finish with Brittany. Go ahead.
Oh no, I bet she's just done crazy. There was no punchline to that. That shit was.
And actually, I'll throw this out. I'm hopping all over the place. This is a scatterbrain episode. But shouts out to Amanda Bynes. I actually have to throw her on dedications this week, because Amanda Bynes was actually the inspiration for dedications. When we were going to do our first episode, I was going to dedicate our first episode to Amanda Bynes and ask that we please try to get her some help, because this was back last July when we were going to start the show. And we end up not starting the show around that time. And so then by the time we did our first actual episode, we shot out to Eva Marie, who was on Total Divas and all that shit. But shouts out to Mary Entertaining asking Drake to murder your vagina. I miss that entertainment. Please come back.
Yeah, and once again, this just gets me hating on the black man once again, because she was so tripped up on the chocolate. But I almost want to kind of double pedal back and no, I'm too embarrassed. And actually, this is just kind of fucked up. Well, actually, fuck it, I'm going to say it. I don't give a shit. Well, you know how like when Robin passed. I right away I was like, you know, these shits come in threes. You know what I mean? Usually when you have, you know, drop offs of legends. And one of the fucked up was Lauren Bacall, and I forget what shit she was in. She was in some fucking classic shits, but I started laughing because, well, not laughing. When she passed, you know, RIP, she kind of didn't create comedy the way that, you know, like say Robin did. The only fucking story that I seen from her is that she left her fucking dog 10K. And that was the most that I heard of her, other than, you know, she had passed away or, you know, reactions and things like that, but that she left her dog. And she has three children, but she left her dog, you know, 10K. And another one who kind of... And I almost... And the reason why that kind of dribbled my mind is because back into reality, back into the hip-hop thing, back into brotherhood and being brothers. Mm. And these two brothers, I didn't notice how public the beef was with 50 and Mayweather. Now, and we can enlighten people, because of what I heard the connection was that Floyd called him out on his son.
The start of it, from what I saw,
forgive me. Well, what started the beef though was some bitch, right?
Well, not even with 50, because like the first thing I saw that actually escalated the 50 and Mayweather thing was when 50 did the video, when he was like, I woke up and the computer told me, Mayweather talking about fuck T.I., fuck Nelly, fuck 50 Cent. He was like, Nelly fucked your first baby mom and he just stole your fiance. He was like, fuck that nigga. And that was the first video I saw. And then after that was when 50 did the ALS challenge and told Mayweather if he could read a page out of Harry Potter without stumbling and fucking up, he would give $750,000 to the donation or to the charity. But then, did you hear what Mayweather said back?
No.
Yo, Mayweather came back and was like, I'll see your $750,000 and I'll raise you $1 million if you could get a video of your son saying, I love you.
Oh, that's what that shit was. Oh, fuck, that's a big fuck you. Bam!
They've been going back and forth, and then the Breakfast Club released that video of Mayweather trying to read that drop, which Charlamagne he read it in like 15 seconds. It took Mayweather like 3 minutes, but I did counter, because there's another video that a fan of Mayweather put together showing Mayweather doing like hours of teleprompting and reading for like he had a fight coming up, and so, you know, they do the different drops of Watch This Live on DirecTV and next week on Bright House Network, and so he was doing all that, so he can read. So I don't know what the happened during that Breakfast Club thing, and I think they were fucked up for releasing that, but I don't know if he had a fight that weekend, or maybe he'd been up all night, and I don't know, but it did sound bad.
Dude, one thing I love, and this just goes to show about what you can do with the right connections, what you can do with money, people, the creative money. And mind you, and Mayweather, he's definitely the money-making team, but 50 and his goddamn connections, yo. I'm pretty fucking sure he's like, release that. And kind of to jump back to the shit with this kid, because I know there has to be a cold sting, and that's actually one of the things that kind of that just scares me about not being loved. I want to be loved by everyone. That's why sometimes I'll even make you hate me, just so that you can feel something for me so grandly. And and I remember back when, and I think it was 50 who, and I think we talked about this, 50, someone had leaked out text messages of 50 and his kid, and we had kind of came to the agreement that was probably 50 and his marketing skills to try to, you know, I don't know, but then again, because, you know, publicity being publicity being publicity. But yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know what you thought.
Yeah, and I don't know, that situation was weird, because think a lot of it, yeah, and I give that to him, and it kind of goes up, this brings up something else with Joe Budden also, who, did you hear Joe Budden is wanted right now, right?
No, for what? Battle?
Apparently, apparently, and I'll tie this all together, but apparently Joe Budden had went to some chick's house that he was dating. They got into it, and she's the legend that he kicked her ass and then stole her phone. And so he's wanted in New York right now. And it kind of...
First time ever.
Yeah. And fucking Joe Budden, I love him.
Hip-hop fans, this is the first time ever Joe Budden is wanted in New York.
Yeah. Yeah, he hasn't been that always getting in trouble MC. And I sympathize because I know Joe, like, I'm a big fan of Joe Budden's music, similar to I'm a big fan of Childish Gambino, because
I'm
they just, they're, what?
I'm talking shit about his music career by saying that he's finally wanted. Now they want him. I'm sorry, keep going, brother. I didn't get the laugh that I wanted, so I need
I know, I missed that. Okay. No, I thought you were talking about how all these rappers keep getting arrested and all that. But no, that is funny. I missed that joke. That's my bad. But no, Joe Budden, I'm a big fan of Joe's, just like I'm a big fan of Donald Glover's, because their music resonates with me on a visceral level. Like, I kind of get why they're so messed up in the head, if you will. And Joe Budden is a drug addict, and he has a lot of emotional effed up issues. And I feel his demons. And that's the reason why, like, when he does something, I'm like, oh, it doesn't surprise me. it doesn't surprise me. Which one?
Oh no, just he said some shit about there hasn't been a pill that I haven't popped. I don't know, it was just so simple, but I mean, I believe it when he said
real talk. Yeah, real talk. So it just, but him, Joe Budden and 50 Cent are both people who have these odd public relationships with their kids because of the situations with their baby moms are so bad that like all that stuff gets public. And so Joe Budden has talked about it a lot in his music. 50 Cent has been drugged through the mud, and I think a lot of it just comes to him and his son has fallen out, because over the years 50 Cent has been on the road making money, and his baby moms has been doing whatever she's been doing but living off of 50 Cent's money. And I think you just get that detachment as you grow up, because 50, all he sees is that 50's on the road and that his mom is taking care of him. And it's that whole dynamic of when the mother and the father can't be around each other, that shrinks a relationship with the kid in some way, shape, or form. And so it's just, it's sad. So
you give less of a fuck, and it's just a matter of, it's you become what you're feared to be. And that's like kind of like what 50 was calling out, is like, you're just a greedy little shit. But then again, like, he was so detached, it fucks the psyche, that's for sure.
And it's fucked up again, because it's the same thing that goes to Donald Sterling. The little bit of sympathy that I do have for Donald Sterling, it's a certain way we all talk to one another in private, where if you were to take that out and put it out into the public's eye to get their scrutiny, and if people don't know the entire backstory, anything could look bad. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those things where, like, you got to know the whole story, but whatever. And speaking of whole stories.
Yeah, I was trying to say, I'm like, maybe it should have been my way of being like, so what are those niggas doing over there?
Yeah, and it shouts out to hashtag justice for Mike Brown, and shouts out to somebody else who did an awesome challenge. Did you see Orlando Jones's ice bucket challenge?
I'm guessing he's a sports player.
No, Orlando Jones, the black dude that used to be on Mad TV. He was on,
The UPS guy? Or the FedEx?
No, not the light-skinned one, the dark-skinned one that's still relevant. Shit, what else has Orlando Jones done?
Dark-skinned relevant.
Google Orlando Jones.
I'm going to type that in. Fucking dark-skinned brother, relevant.
Orlando Jones.
No, I'm going to use this.
But shouts out to Orlando Jones. He is from Mad TV fame. He's done some other
stuff.
I don't know why I can't think of it.
He's old as hell, too. Yeah, I remember him. Okay. Yeah. Holy fuck, I'm so sorry. I feel so retarded for not knowing who this brother was. But like I said, relevant dark-skinned brother Jones. Nothing.
Orlando Jones... He did a interesting spin on the ice bucket challenge. He actually dumped a bucket of bullets over his head and did the whole reverse the hate challenge because
look at that.
Yeah, all the shootings that's going on with the whole Justice for Mike Brown. And then that also brings us to our next story, which is another guy got shot and killed 10 miles north of where Michael Brown had got shot. And once again, it's a lot of controversy with this. Now, have you seen the video?
That I have none. No, you're bringing news to me.
So I'm you've been keeping up with your aliens out there in Israel. I've been keeping up with my my black folks out in the Missouri area. So that's where it's coming from, Missouri.
Right. If we have any listeners up in Missouri, they're going to be like, how do you even pronounce that?
Missouri. So another man was shot and killed by police officers out there, and they had alleged that he charged the cops with a knife, and that they end up arresting him. They had to protect their lives. They had to shoot and kill him, and so on and so forth. And they're saying that he was acting erratically. He didn't drop the weapon, and he had an overhand grip, and therefore, and also the man was yelling, shoot me, kill me now. And so when he got 4 feet within the officers, they decided to shoot and kill him. So that was the official police report that got out. Now, what they did not know was that somebody was actually filming it on their camera phone. Shouts out to smartphones. That's the reason why I love the internet in this generation. It is bad when people don't help and they just film stuff, but it's awesome when the cops do something bad and they get filmed. And some guys were filming it. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I think that's just arms right there, because obviously you gotta know what you're going up against. You can't really go up against the cops. So what's the best way to do it? That black man.
All right. Film it. That's our best weapon nowadays. You can't fight fire wire. You gotta fight fire with smartphones, and you gotta film that shit and broadcast it worldwide.
That Aquarius shit.
Welcome to the age of Aquarius. That's the new weapon. You use the water, the knowledge, the intelligence of the age of Aquarius to douse the flames, which is the old age of Pisces. Message. No. But anyway,
Mike Jenkins.
Yo,
Mick Jenkins,
and I did download it. I'm gonna check it out this week because Hip Hop DX did a review on him. So shots out. I'm gonna check that shit out.
If you don't mind, then let's do the title track, "The Water," and put that up for as a closing song.
Oh, hopefully. I had a different idea for a closer.
Okay, well then we'll talk about it then. I want to hear.
We'll shout him out on the next episode. So we'll do that. We'll talk about him on the next one. And so this dude or whatever. So what happened? Some bystanders were filming. Some pedestrians were filming, and what happened? And this dude was being erratic, and he did have a knife in his hand. And at one point, when the cops arrived on the scene, he did yell, "Shoot me, kill me now." The guy apparently was upset about something, and he was pacing back and forth erratically. And he got, I would question that it wasn't 4 feet. It was about maybe 8 to 10 feet close to the cops. The knife wasn't in the air. It was still like he was still holding it down. And the cops shot him about 2 or 3 times. He hit the ground and they proceeded to shoot him about 6 or 7 more times. Now, while they're shooting him on the ground, people are yelling, "He's dead, he's dead." And then so then the cops, after I guess they finally catch their breath and they're relaxed, they flip the guy over on his. They flip the guy over on his stomach and handcuff him. So then they handcuff him and they're like, "Yo, he's already dead. Why are you handcuffing him?" And then another cop is still aiming a gun at him, and the other cops pull up on the scene, and it's like, oh, it's to make them look like they were protecting themselves. He was handcuffed. They shot and killed him when he still wouldn't calm down. But the video leaked, and now even though the guy was being erratic and he did have a deadly weapon in his hand, the question I asked is, why didn't you use your baton to knock him out? Why didn't you use your taser? Why didn't you shoot him in the foot? Like, they showed up on the scene of the crime, and within 60 seconds, this man was dead. Like, we pay the cops out of our tax dollars to de-escalate situations, not to escalate it. And so it was just, I don't know. And especially with everything that's already going on in Ferguson, it's just like, these cops looks like they're just trying to shoot up some shit. So I can't call it.
Yo, after all the training that they do, after all the psych studies that they have to implement and try to figure out, like, you figure you are above the grade of your typical average American. I didn't realize, I'm not too sure if it's only in the state of Arizona, if it's outside, but, you know, our newspapers, they're written at a sixth grade level so that, you know what I'm saying, it's easier for folks to understand. So mind you, if you're this, you know, cut above the grain, you figure you can figure something out to switch from your lethal weapon, which once again you've been trained to be lethal, and also should be probably in the back of your mind that it's probably not the best to just go tattling and shooting away to be able to reach for that baton. But mind you, it is also life, and I don't see you call it life or death, but I mean, if you see these niggas already buck, then you know that you're gonna have to get quick with them. You know what I mean? It's not something that you can kind of, and I don't know, it almost the simple fucking me's thinking movies, and I'm like, ooh, they can, you know, do some kind of Jet Li trick to go over my shoulders and, you know, put me in submission, steal my wallet and it. Like, I don't know. It doesn't give you a reason. I don't know. That's extreme.
And I think what the issue is and what it comes to, and I can't remember if I believe I did bring this up on the Dear Mr. President episode, but I think what the main issue and the concern all around the world is the militarizing of the police out here in America. And I think what the biggest concern and what turns it to the conspiracy theory is that, okay, we're in Afghanistan for 10 years. And while we were out there, we were just making all kinds of new weapons, just budget going through the roof, just making weapons and tank and missiles and all this shit.
Right.
And that whole time we were out there doing that, people were asking, like, okay, why are we out there? And there was a conspiracy of we're stealing oil. There's a conspiracy of we're getting the poppy plants and the opium fields, and we're doing the whole selling heroin. And then now there's the conspiracy of we were just using all that time to build up arms for when the war is over to bring those arms back out here to America. Because let me ask you the question, like, if we're, as the public, is just sitting here and we start seeing that the police start getting more and more weapons, we're going to start questioning things. But what's the best way to sneak it into America? You go to war, you make all these weapons after the war is over, where you can't get rid of these weapons, you need to take them somewhere, so you bring them back and you use them on the civilians. That's the best way to invade America, and it has already happened, people.
Yeah.
We got invaded, and they did that shit right under our noses. And that's the reason why I do always beg the question, you know, what's the best trick the devil ever pulled? It was making people think that he didn't exist. Yeah. And what's the best way to think, to show people that, you know, some crazy shit is happening? You do it right in front of their face. So it's like, oh, we're too smart. Like, oh, we would catch that they're doing something, and oh, they wouldn't be able to do that. Yeah, they're doing it right. They hide it in plain sight. So you won't question anything because you think you're too fucking smart and you can't let anything get past you. And so, yeah. American anarchy, baby.
You think you know, and you don't know shit.
You don't know shit. So, with this, I want to bring up, I got two dedications now. Oh. We can kind of... And actually, I'm going to change the game, because one of the dedications is male. I'm going to change the game. So, this is a non-sexual thing.
I don't know. All right, well, then.
Do this. Go ahead. I guess
as the gay dedication would imply.
No, I guess
hit me with it, please.
Well, go ahead and shouts out to somebody I'm a big fan of, and maybe instead of putting them under the dedication slot, I'll put them under the support slot, because I don't want anybody taking it wrong. I know there's a lot of penises on our dedication wall, but hey, pause.
And it's in the female dedication part. Fucked up part.
So. Let me go ahead and step back. I'll drop him off in the support page, so check him out. Shouts out to Jank Ugar from Young Turds, who's one of my favorite newscasts. And did you know he is actually part of a committee that started in 2011. They're trying to introduce a new amendment. They're trying to introduce Amendment 28 to be added to the Constitution, which would basically take money out of financing elections. So where instead of it's whoever has the most money is the one who wins the election, where it's actually who the people vote properly, you know, through different forms or different ways of those politicians getting out there. But I think that's the best thing, because that's the biggest problem in America, is that the corporations run everything. You know, Obama won because he had the most money. It wasn't because he was a better candidate than Mitt Romney or John McCain. It was simply that he had the most money. And that's what it comes down to. That's what politics are today in America. And so shouts out to Jank Ugar. You can check him out on wolf-pack.com. Or just Google Wolfpack. They're trying to start an amendment so we could get this on the book, so then we could have more fair elections and maybe get somebody in office who could actually help and do something.
Yeah. Well, shout out to that and go peep it up, people. So, as my hating would do, let's get back to the bitches. Please. Can we just go step over here?
We'll officially say it's about that time for...
Oh.
Dedication. And I'll pass it over to you, since I kind of had a lot this episode, so I'll go ahead and pass it to you and let you start this joint.
Oh. like that. Well, because we're doing celebrity? Celebrity?
I can tell you my person. I'm pretty sure they're not famous. Unless people follow this person on Twitter, they might know him on Twitter. But the person I'm doing is not famous.
Okay, well then, do you want to? Right, okay, well.
And she's a nerd.
Oh.
Ow!
You know those are fake. Well, all right. Well, I'll just do it because I'm gonna just jump into it. This and I was still kind of because I didn't know whether just to give the dedication and the honor to some random celebrity bitch that, you know what I'm saying, just looks really good and nigga won't broke. But there was this, and I think because you're going something on. Oh, anyways. Her online name is Muharija Fisham.
And can you send that link or something? Because I have no idea what you
did. and I'm trying to actually. I'm going to try to copy the link now. But one of the and I spelled it out really quickly. M U H A J I R A H F I S H A M. Anyways, she was she's from London, England originally. She married some Swedish cat. And he is an Islamic State fighter named Abu Bakr, or I'm mispronouncing the shit. Anyways, I apparently, and also by that name that I attempted to pronounce miserably means immigrant in Syria. And she was just one thing that I love, and I love me an extremist bitch. That's kind of thing why I will fucks with a Jesus freak, you know what I'm saying? Who tries to, you know what I'm saying, condemn everyone to hell if she gives it to me properly. Yeah. But also love just one. Bitch is wild, and she is. She has ambitions to be a jihadist in Syria to try to kind of. And she's so fucking open about it that about just wanting. Just she's so down for executions and all. I don't even know how to. And I'm trying to find her actual name. I don't know if she just goes by that. But if y'all look that up, that's just a bad bitch, in my opinion. And she is not afraid about going out. Oh, mind you, she's on Twitter, so you can look up that Twitter name.
And spell it one more time.
Muharija Fisham. And I'll go onto Face and I'll send that shit to you and stuff.
Yeah, I apparently didn't get that because, your search did not match any documents. So shoot the link. She'll be up on the Face or on the IBHM podcast page for the people who, like me, still couldn't type that right.
You know, I feel like I'm almost not doing a dedication, but oh, fucking well. Take a look at it. More reason.
Oh, wait, I'm loading it up. She's crazy, yo.
Yeah. And I just love how and this thing that got me, she's like, I want to be the first UK woman to kill a Westerner. Like, damn! We have no regard. Damn. Yeah, we can get laughs of a fuck. And part of that craziness, man, is just what captivates me. That's just all alluring. On the real, I guess go on record to say I am an aspiring extremist. I don't know my cause yet. Because as much as I'm stricken by Yeshua, a.k.a. Jesus, I just need the right push into the right thing. I want to blow some shit out.
And my... My new thing is I think that we should just go ahead and start a church so we could start a cult. And I want to introduce the age of Aquarius, ayahuasca, and marijuana to the public. So I think we need to figure out how we could turn that into an IBHM church. So be on the lookout for that, people, because we're bringing salvation to a home near you.
Yeah. So Bapo 2016.
Yeah, and people's 3:16. That's the proverb. So yes, sir. Yeah. my dedication is to actually a writer from Upworthy. Do you ever fuck with Upworthy?
I can't say that I have, unless I just never paid attention.
Upworthy is pretty cool. They I subscribe to them on their website. You can sign up to the mailing list, and they send you all these different articles. And they just talk a lot of stuff that's going on in the world. And my dedication is to Andrea Garcia-Vargas, who wrote this article called "Here Are 10 Images. By the time I reached the third one, I was crying. By the 10th, I was furious." And this is a little nerdy Hispanic young lady. She's adorable as a button, but she wrote this article that tugged on my heartstring. So I'm just go ahead and read it to you folks real quick. And it is about the unarmed black men getting murdered in America. And she says her fact checkers gave the thumbs up to all the dates and ages, but many of you, I'm sure, would like to know the backstories to a lot of the chilling images that she had put on her Upworthy page. And it shows John Crawford, who was holding a toy gun as he stood in the toy section of a Walmart before the police shot him to death in the same aisle. John managed to say, "It's not real," but it was too late. He was killed. Then you have Sean Bell, who's going to get married. One night he was driving away from his bachelor party with friends Joseph and Trent. Suddenly he hit a minivan. Four undercover police officers from the minivan began to shoot at them without warning, firing a total of 50 bullets at three unarmed men. A wounded Joseph turned to Sean and said, "S, I love you, son." Sean's reply, "I love you too." Joseph, Trent survived, but their best friend Sean did not make it, and once again he was getting married the next morning. Then you have one of the witnesses in the Trayvon Martin trial, Rachel Gentile, was on the phone with Trayvon moments before the scuffle with George Zimmerman that ended his life. One of the last things she heard the unarmed Trayvon say to the man who was following him with the gun that fateful night was, "Why are you following me for?" Then you have Michael Brown, who died August of 2014 in Ferguson, Missouri. A police officer, Darren Wilson, shot him at least six times, once in the back, twice in the head. Michael was not armed. His friends and eyewitnesses reported that Michael said, "I don't have a gun. Stop shooting." Minutes later, he was on the ground bleeding, and Dr. Michael M. Badan, the man who did Michael's autopsy, told the Examiner, "In my capacity as a forensic examiner for the New York State Police, I would say you're not supposed to shoot so many times." Then you have Amudalu, who died right outside of his apartment in the Bronx. He was unarmed. Four police officers shot 41 bullets, hitting Amudalu 19 times. Later, they claimed that they had mistaken Amudalu for a serial rapist. That same day, some of the last words he said to his mother as he spoke over the phone were, "Mom, I'm going to college." Then, it continues, people. Then you have Eric Garner, who died in July of 2014. He was unarmed. Police officers were trying to arrest him for allegedly selling untapped cigarettes. Eric suffered asthma, and as a police officer put his arm around Eric's neck during the arrest, he managed to gasp, "I can't breathe." The New York City Medical Examiner's Office ruled Eric's death a homicide, pointing out that the officer's chokehold might have been a big factor. Three more, y'all, and we're out of here.
Hey.
Jonathan Farrell had been in a traffic accident and was knocking on a homeowner's door for help. He was unarmed. A video later used at the trial showed that when police officers approached him, Jonathan held his hands out in a non-threatening manner. The police officers never identified themselves. They fired 12 times. 10 of those bullets hit him. Even as Jonathan lay on the ground bleeding and dying from 10 gunshot wounds, officers handcuffed him. Jonathan's dead body remained handcuffed all the way to the medical examiner's office. Then you have Oscar Grant, who was on a subway train in Oakland. When a police officer forced him out of the car and onto the subway platform, Oscar was laying down when the second police officer shot a bullet into his back. You shot me, Oscar, yes, before he died. That officer later testified that he meant to use his taser on Oscar instead of his handgun. A court later ruled that the two had no legal reason to get Oscar, who was unarmed, off the train. And actually lied. Two more.
Brother, you're killing me.
Monty Craig. Oh, and this should kill all of y'all. Kamani Gray was standing on a street in Brooklyn when police officers approached him. The officers claimed that when they approached him, he pulled a gun from his waistband and pointed at him. But one eyewitness, Shashina King, said that he never pointed a gun. She also said the police officers did not identify themselves when they approached. Police officers shot Kamani at least seven times, even though Kamani hadn't shot a single bullet. One witness said some of Kamani's last words were, "Please don't let me die." And lastly is Kendrick McDade, who died after a man called Oscar Corello made a phony 911 call telling police officers that he had just been the victim of an armed robbery. He later admitted that he lied about the guns. The two officers eventually found Kendrick in an alleyway. They began shooting at Kendrick apparently moved his hands to his waistband, but Kendrick didn't have a gun on him. All he had was a cell phone in his pocket. Court documents show that Kendrick's last words were, "Why did you shoot me?" And I think that last one is the most telling, because the telephone, the cell phone, the smartphone is the new weapon of today, armed to stop the violence and the anarchy that's in America. I say, people, continue to film, continue to broadcast, pump up the volume, wake up.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Shouts out to Andrea Garcia Vargas, my dedication.
Oh, that was actually worthy.
That was what's up.
Yeah, that was a good article. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Well, if anything, you know, just me being the selfish me that I am. I love me a crazy bitch. Like I said, it was back to the girl that was, her name was, and Khadija Dair. It was K. Her real name is spelled K H A D I J A H D A R E. So that's, I just love what the fuck people who stand for something stand for. Usually, if you stand for something, it ain't gonna be for
and,
that's what we are. Upon the shit.
Yeah.
Collection of shit.
And that's the reason why you must stand for something or fall for anything.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why after this episode is recorded, because my man Papa over here has to go to work fairly soon. And so what I'm going to do after I get off this is everybody out there who's listening, go ahead and follow me on Facebook. I believe it's facebook.com/ArizonaVerse. If not, it's GPeoples602. Go ahead and check me out, because I will be doing the Ice Bucket Challenge, and I'm also hashtag reverse the hate, hashtag free Palestine, hashtag welcome to the age of Aquarius on you bitches. So be on the lookout for that.
Oh, goodness.
And Papa, we watching you. We're expecting an Ice Bucket Challenge soon, and that's like 10, 15 minutes, so...
Oh, motherfucker, I gotta wash hands and be on the road in the next 10 to 15 minutes, so I'm gonna think...
Yeah, you could use the ice bucket to wash your ass, and that'll be how you baptize yourself into the age of Aquarius.
You know what? And I've been working on this like twerk, but I didn't shave. and you know, we having camera difficulties. On the real though, I would almost have a twerk off with most bitches, but yeah, you know, I'm voluptuous. Let's wrap this shit up, please. Come on now. I would think of something.
Sir.
I would think of something.
So he'll figure out something. Yeah. So it'll be up there.
If y'all follow me on Instagram or Tumblr, @SoapApple, anything, then you know, y'all can give me a request. I'll send you booty pics for booty pics. But yeah, let's think about the lovely people out there who are listening.
So once again, our email is ibhmpodcast@gmail.com or imblackhesmexican@gmail.com. Questions, comments, articles you want to hear our opinion on, go ahead and send them over there. If you guys want to drop some knowledge, or if you have a dedication, go ahead and send it in. Let us know if you want us to read it on the show, and we will. You can find us on the web on the following sites: Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Tumblr, Podomatic, just at IBHM Podcast, an appropriate spot. Subscribe to our show on Stitcher, iTunes, and Podomatic. Just search I'm Black, He's Mexican, or click the link under this. And if you don't want to do any of that, just head over to the website, ibhmpodcast.com. Gets updated all the fucking time. And we want to thank y'all for visiting the website all the damn time. We're starting to get a lot of traffic on the website. Our numbers are starting to rise. We just cracked the top 40 in a comedy on on Podomatic. And they sent us a message saying how good we're doing. And to keep an eye on the Black Guy Who Tips podcast, who's number one in comedy. And it's shotted us out in the same bracket as them. So appreciate that, Podomatic.
Yeah.
And so once again, I'm Black. He's Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't like this podcast, tell them what they might be.
I think you was a motherfucking mother loving something with the one and another. Goddamn. God bless. Retarded.
Yes, sir.
Racist?
Racist.
Yes. Racist. Yeah, we're supposed to say that in unison, but we slack.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, something like that. So
we can't see each other. Normally, you know, we can look in each other's eyes and just know.
It just gaze into one another's eyes.
No, not like that. I wasn't saying it like that, but on that note.
Hey, no, hey, pause. I was just saying,
What do you guys say when we say something real gay? And you got to protect yourself in the public's eye?
No homo.
No homo.
So, on that note, until next time.
Awkward as hell. Yeah. Either way.
This episode never happened.
Hello. Welcome to Recollection. If you are experiencing anxiety, depression, panic attacks, insomnia, or excessive stress, well, we here at Recollection can help you. Over the years, we've developed a unique technology that allows us to extract traumatic experiences from your memory, restoring a healthy life. Our treatments are painless and non-invasive.
up in the cup of Kahlua. That makes me want a main line of fucking fifth of doers. I'm trying to utilize my time to shine here. I realize we only have limited time here. Dudes on my line trying to sell me a timeshare. That'll be me with a nine losing my mind in Times Square. Like,
this is how you're gonna treat me? You know what this business was before you hired me? A piece of shit. Everybody on the floor right now. Everybody get the fuck down.
Life's irrelevant, and my melanin and then makes me a felon, and then I just wanna take this fucking crack and sell it to the planet. Panic, I'm a manic depressive mechanic that manages to frantically be damaged to the brain with Xanax, and it's like the word anxiety is granted panoramic to the back of my eyelids in a variety of fonts. Aerial, bold, gothic, lost it in Times Square, and going home is not an option. Is this illusion optic? Perhaps it's just a chemical reaction. With my Zoloft and Acidophilus, the section of my brain that forms sentences is inoperative. Danger, 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 Will Robinson. I'm a Zahri, Far Side.